When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am so excited to be here today and have Ann Wilson on Get Real Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Okay, so this is kind of different. I don't normally do this, but with you, I just feel like you are one of the most inspiring people I have had the pleasure to meet because of your faith.
Oh, thank you.
And I was wondering if you could just start us in a prayer.
Yes.
Because I really want God to like be in this interview. I want him to guide it. I want his message, like whatever is supposed to come out with your story, with your life, with your light. I just really want to make sure that God is at the center of this interview. So will you lead us in a prayer?
Yes, I would love to.
Okay.
God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this opportunity to just get to talk about life and the things that you're doing through both of us. Thank you for everyone listening. And I pray that you would bless this conversation today. Whatever comes of it, Lord, let it be glorifying and honoring to you. And we love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So, you know, like back in the day in the Bible, you hear of people like seeing a burning bush. And then, you know, there's all these like messages that like people get from God where he speaks directly to them. But I feel personally like I've had a couple of moments where I felt the presence of God like speaking kind of to me. Like I didn't hear words, but like I knew God was telling me what I needed to do. But you are kind of this person who I feel like your story, and you've shared your story so much, but it is such an incredible story. So I would love for you to share your story of how you got to being a country singer, because that was never your dream, never your plan. You wanted to be an astronaut, which is amazing. But like God has used the worst tragedy to turn you into the biggest vessel for him. And you heard him speak to you in the midst of that tragedy that changed the trajectory of your whole life. And I just feel like that's so incredible. And you like listened and obeyed.
Thank you. That's so sweet. Well, it started with my brother passing away in 2017. I wanted to be an astronaut and I had taken, wanted to be an astronaut, wanted to work for NASA. And then on the music side of things, I had taken piano lessons since I was 6 because my mom forced all 3 of us. She was like, good. If you're going to be in the family, if not, you're kicked out. But if you're going to be in the family, you have to take piano lessons. And we all, and we hated it. Well, and I think too, like growing up, her mom didn't have the money to get her a piano and she always wanted to play the piano. So she kind of wanted to live with us. So she wanted us to play, which was really sweet. So she sacrificed a lot growing up, like financially, so we could have piano lessons, which is obviously so sweet now being a musician. Like I'm so grateful for that. And then my brother was tragically killed in a car accident, which was the most devastating moment of my life. He was 23 and I was 15. And I think when that moment happened, a lot came into perspective for me. I think a lot of people, thankfully, it's like a good thing in a sense, don't have the perspective that people have, you know, that have gone through loss. Cause it's like, you just keep going through life every day. Like it's no big deal. But then when someone dies like that, it really reminds you of what matters in life, which is spending time with people that you love and relationships and family and God and your faith. And for me, that really became real when he died. It was like, what am I going to do? Well, first of all, I remember feeling like life is so short and it's a vapor. So what am I going to do? Yeah.
Because you just dissolve.
Yeah. Just comes and
vanishes.
Yeah. It's like you can't grab onto it, you know?
No. And you think you can. We're so we're so fooled into thinking we can.
I know. Yeah. And so it's a hard concept to grasp. But I think then I realized like, okay, what do I want to do with my life left? Like if God does not promise me tomorrow, but like what can I do with my today to glorify him and honor him? And that was music. And I didn't know that at the time, but I just trusted him.
But you had never sung before.
No, I didn't sing at all. But I did listen to Christian radio.
With that voice that you have, I mean, your voice is next level.
Thank you.
And you had never sung before.
Yeah, I know. It's so crazy to look back on. I know. But I just like loved Christian radio. I loved country. I grew up listening to music my whole life. So it was like, I would sing in the car, but like not as loud. Not loud enough for people to hear me in the car.
Did you ever sing loud for yourself? Did you know you had a voice?
No.
So you weren't belting it?
No. I still didn't even think I had it. Like, I'm like, wait, can I actually sing?
Yes.
I'm so hard on myself. Like, I'm really hard on myself. So, like, when I was younger, especially right after Jacob died and I was singing, you know, I had never had voice lessons. So my voice was very, like, weak, you know, as any singer's voice would be before you really start strengthening it. Just like you would with, like, other muscles in your body. It's, like, a muscle you have to work. And so it was just really weak at first. And so I remember just being so hard on myself, thinking, like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm not good at this. And then as I've gotten, like, more into singing and as I've gotten older, I've worked more on my voice. But at the time, I had never sang in front of anyone.
Ever.
Ever. And then I was singing down at my piano one day. This was, like, 2 days after he died. And I thought I was alone in the house. And it was my first moment of being alone because we had family and friends at our house like around the clock after he died, which was amazing. But it was our first moment of like peace. So I go downstairs. I play this worship song. It's called What a Beautiful Name. And I was singing. And my mom was listening the whole time. I had no idea she was in the house. And she was crying her eyes out. And she was like, Anne, first of all, like, where did this come from? I've never heard you sing. And then like, how are you even doing this right now? And it was like a moment for me to go, okay, like clearly, like if she is recognizing this in me, then I need to be willing to do what she's asking me, which was to sing at the funeral.
She asked
she
you.
Straight up asked me.
That's a huge ask, like with all those emotions and everything going through. You've never sung in your life to sing at your brother's funeral.
Yeah, and that's truthfully, huge. Like now that it's passed, she always says like she was really nervous for me to sing because she was like, you've never sang in front of anyone. Like, how are you even going to go sing? Like, aside from the grief of Jacob, like, right. How are you going to go sing just as never, singing before?
That alone in itself without the grief is a huge thing. Maybe because of the situation you had, well, obviously God spoke to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
God was with you.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was a really crazy time. We had two funerals and both of them I got through without crying and like completely finished the song, which I don't even know how that, I mean, it was just God.
Were they, and I would love to hear like what God said to you, because like that moment when your brother passed and you asked your dad, did he die? And he said, yes.
Yeah.
But you heard God?
I heard God's voice for the first time. Like, I had grown up in, I had grown up in a Baptist church my whole life and then Presbyterian, well, until I was four and then Presbyterian up until then. So I'd never heard of, you know, nothing against those denominations, but they just don't talk a lot about like hearing the voice of God. And I didn't know what that was like. And then I just, for the first time ever heard it. And it was like very clear.
What did it sound like?
And,
was it a man's voice?
It was like, just like this thing in my spirit. It's so super hard to describe, but it was just like, I knew that it was God. And it was like, it was very kind, but it was also like, it was stern. It was like, are you going to trust me or are you not? Which at the time was hard for me to hear. Cause I'm like, my brother just died and you could have stopped him from dying and all these like, just wrestling with God, you know, that everybody has. But it was like, he was like, no, Anne, are you going to trust me or are you not? Like in that exact moment.
And you said yes.
Yeah. I just knew I couldn't get through without God. I just knew I wasn't going to survive. So I just turned around, faced the doors in that room while the cops were still at the house. I mean, everything was, it just had happened. And I just said, I remember, I think I had like my hands like this on my head and I was crying and I was like, Jesus, I trust you.
Jesus.
So it was amazing. Yeah.
Did you feel something in that moment?
Totally. I felt like this weight had lifted and I don't know. I just knew I was going to get through it. I didn't in the moment feel like, oh, good's going to come from this. But because I had been raised in the church, I knew scripture and I knew that like, I knew the verse that God works everything together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so I just knew that like somewhere deep down that might be me, but I didn't know what, obviously, to the scale he's done is like far greater than I could have ever imagined.
So then when you were about to sing at the funeral, you heard his voice again.
Yeah. On the stage.
Because so you were nervous.
I was so nervous. And I remember getting up on the stage about to like start the song. And I remember him saying to me, "And this is what I'm calling you to do. I'm calling you to praise and worship my name." Word for word.
"And this is what I'm calling you to do. I'm calling you to praise and worship my name."
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
What do you feel then?
I just remember feeling like I was just, I think it was a, like it was the perfect moment, obviously. God knows best, because in that moment, like I was about to sing for the first time. This was at the first funeral, not the second. This was like the first one. And I was about to sing for the first time and I was looking at the casket and I was looking at all these people that like poured into Jacob's life. The church was so crowded. Like there were people in the lobby and everything. There was like 1,400 people at the funeral. And I just remember thinking he was. And I just remember thinking like, wow, like this is, it almost was a distraction in a sense, like of, okay, I can't give up. God's just called me to this, to music or to singing, I guess. Like I still didn't even really know for sure. But I remember it kind of being a little bit of a distraction of going, okay, I'm going to get through. Wow. Like during the song, I remember thinking like, wow, God just called me to this, like as I'm at my brother's funeral. So there was a lot of like mixed emotions in there. But yeah, it was a really powerful moment. And then from that day forward, so that day after the funeral, my mom's phone blew up, obviously with like, we're so sorry, but like for your loss. But the other half of the text messages were, Anne is going to do this. Like people were like, which is kind of a weird thing to text a mom that just lost her son. But it was like the whole room like picked up on the fact that this was what I was going to do. And I don't even know how that's possible. People were just messaging me like, Anne's going to do this. We know she's going to do this. We know she's going to have a career in music. And then that really, from that moment on, continued, which will be 7 years in June.
I just watched The Journey to Bethlehem, the story of Jesus' birth with like Mary and Joseph. And Mary got a calling, you know, like an angel actually came and spoke to her and was like, you are pregnant with Jesus, the Son of God. And she's like, no, this can't be. And it's like, but she had such faith. And I feel like, did your faith set you up for this? Did you always know that God was good and God can redeem? And was your faith always unwavering, or did this moment make it unwavering?
I became a follower of Jesus when I was 12. It was very real and very like passionate. I grew up in the church, but it was always, I hated going to church.
I fall asleep every time I go to church. I get this wave of like sleepiness that hits me unlike anywhere else. And I love God, but I'm like, why am I always passing out in the pew?
I know. And I would like color, like when I was young, you know, we'd color, like they'd give us little drawings and I was so bored in church. I'm like, get me out of here.
And you're just reading the scripture and you're not like connecting, even though it's all around you and it's wonderful. Yeah. You're not like having a personal experience.
Yes. And again, nothing against these types of churches, right. But the church I grew up to was like hymns only. If you raise your hand in church, people are hardcore going to judge you. So it's very lifeless and just not passionate. So that was the other thing, was just like, wait, why are we all coming together? Like, this is just, you know,
to not have a real experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then when I was 12, I was going down a pretty bad path in my life. And just,
what do you mean?
And just a normal, wild seventh grade kid. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It would have been worse if I hadn't got a hold of myself. Also, I'm probably like exaggerating it more than what it was, but I'm really hard on myself. So.
I mean, I'm thinking like, you know, babies and drinking and
not that bad. Okay. Yet. Okay. Because I was only 12.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But on the path.
Okay.
And so then I had this moment in my Bible class when I was I went to a Christian private school and we had like this Bible class. Normally Bible class, all the years past, I didn't pay attention to. I got an F in the class the year before. Like, I was horrible at Bible. But then I had this moment with this brand new teacher. He didn't even like, he just came in and was just, he couldn't say Jesus without crying. And he just like literally couldn't say that name without crying. And I just remember like feeling this feeling of like the Holy Spirit in the room. And that was like the day that forever changed my life. And so I had had the understanding there, but then when Jacob died, like, I think, you know, I was raised in a great home. Thank God. Like, my parents are still together.
They made it through.
So thankful. Yeah. They made it through the whole way. And so I had never really been through anything hard in my life to where I needed to cling to my faith. And this was the first moment. I do think Jacob's loss really made me take my faith more serious than ever and realize like, okay, all that is in the Bible is true, that like, when you go through hard times, like, where are you turning to? And for me, it was my faith. So I do think that definitely like helped me in that moment.
So I feel this so deeply in my bones. I don't always do a great job of this, but like, I believe this to my core, that we all have a purpose, that we all came to this earth to have an experience. Mm-hmm. We're all gifted. Mm-hmm. We all have a contribution to give, mm-hmm. to make this world a better place, to shine light. Mm-hmm. But finding it is kind of difficult sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like finding,
yeah, I agree.
And like finding when you know you're on the right path, and like, mm-hmm. when is it God's will versus ego, and mm-hmm. how do you, it's like a giant game that you have, mm-hmm. to like learn how to play, mm-hmm. you know? And like sometimes, and I feel like for me, like I'm 40 now, like the first half of my life, I feel like it has been kind of like trial and error. I've always, mm-hmm. known what God is and who God is, but I've had to like have real experiences to feel him.
Yeah.
I've had to like, you know, have reactions. Like lately I've been tested again. I'm like, really hard situations are coming into my life and haven't been reacting well. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my ego is flaring up. Oh my gosh, I'm being, mm-hmm. triggered. Oh my gosh. Like, I have a lesson to learn here, but it's like, I'm having to still make the mistake to like learn the lesson. But I just feel like if everybody could figure out how to get in touch with their soul and like, mm-hmm. feel when God is guiding them and prompting them and opening doors and closing doors, it's so hard to figure that out. But if we all could figure out that dance, mm-hmm. and get in that flow, mm-hmm. we would all be so much happier. But the human nature just like continuously messes it up.
Yeah.
You know, do,
yeah.
you feel that?
Yes.
And it's hard to stay in the flow, yeah. of God leading. But I feel like, you know, now you can feel the flow. Mm-hmm. And I feel like once people finally click over and they can feel the difference of, oh, this is God, mm-hmm. and this is my ego and this is human, yeah. nature, but, yeah. it's still so murky water.
Yeah, it
do
is.
Do you feel that?
I definitely do. I think sometimes like when I take my eyes off of him is the second I lose it. Mm. It's like keeping my gaze fixed on him is super like important.
Nonstop.
Yeah, like all the time, every day, daily, throughout the day, multiple times, like
kind of. You pray all day? How do you keep your eyes fixed on God?
I think for me, it's like definitely like in my Bible every day. But then it's just prayer, talking. Like one of the things that my pastor always taught me growing up was just like, talk to Jesus like he's just like your friend in the passenger seat. Like, it doesn't have to be proper. It doesn't have to be like this planned out prayer. Like, Jesus doesn't care anything about that. Like, he just wants to talk to you. He just wants a relationship with you. So I think that's helped me a lot, just being able to just talk to him. And then I always feel better. And then I always feel like I'm a better person when I do. Like, I feel like I'm nicer to people. And I'm not as mean. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you connect back to the source, it does. Like, it just, you continue to like grow into a better person. And then the old things of you like wash away. And it's like the more I have my eyes fixed on him, the less I want anything of the world. You know, mm-hmm. it's like the prize. And I've learned a lot about that through different mentors. Like Stephanie Gretzinger is one of my favorite people to listen to. And some of the things that she says, it's just like, I feel like when you have fixed your eyes on him and you, one of the things like what you were talking about, like finding your calling and like staying, you know, on path, it's like keeping your eyes on him is the focus. And then I think he leads you where you need to go, versus like when I was younger, it was like, oh, I want to do this. I want to be an astronaut. I want to do this.
But I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah. And then the second I realized, oh, it's just a surrender. Like, I'm surrendering my life. And then you do what you want with me. Then it like, then he leads you. And yes. then he puts you where you need to be, where you never knew you needed to be.
That,
you
know? Is the difference. Okay. So how do you do the full surrender? Because people will be like, I was actually talking to my husband about this. And I'm like, because I was really inspired by you. I'm like, babe, it's a full surrender. It's just a full surrender. I was like, we're doing great, but we got to just do the full surrender. Mm-hmm. But he's like, but we got to do action. But I'm like, It's got to be prompted by God. I mean, it just has to be the full surrender. Mm-hmm. But it's like the full surrender is so confusing sometimes because it's like, do you just sit and wait for God to tell you? But like, you just keep doing your life as mm-hmm. you would and then wait. How do you know where God is taking you when you're surrendered? Like, how do you surrender? What is life like for you surrendered? Because I feel like a lot yeah. of people struggle with this.
Well, for me, it started when Jacob died and then just having a moment of going, okay, clearly you're calling me to music somehow, some way. I can't even sing. Like, this is like, what are you doing with my life? I was 15. And then it was also like, but then, you know, I'm sacrificing what I want. I've always been
kind of annoyed by this a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I don't want to be a singer. I want to be an astronaut.
Yeah. So I think there was a moment of me going, okay, like, okay, I'm sacrificing what I want for what you want. So that was the surrender for me. And then really since then, it's just kind of been an ongoing thing. Because for example, like, you know, I get a call to do this, like you're going on tour with this person and you've got an opportunity to do this. And I'm like, amazing. Thank you, God. But then it's also like this whole thing of like, okay, God, if this is what you want, great. If not, show me. But like, I'm surrendered to you. So it is a daily thing. It's like, it's just a continuous conversation of going, okay, like I try not to hold too tightly onto things. And I think that's what helps me continue to be surrendered. It's like, I try really hard not to hold tightly to my career, to my success, to my music, to really anything in life, even relationships, you know?
Because you've like, had the experience of them leaving.
Yeah. And I do think like you can just live in fear of, you know, what if this person dies and, you know, what if this is my last time with this person and so on. And it can get so like toxic that it's just, that's not the way you're supposed to live. You can't live in fear. And so it's like being like in the moment and grateful for the moment, but also knowing like, okay, God, I'm surrendering my life to you and whatever you want to do with me, do it. But I'm not going to take the reins. Because when we do, it always goes wrong.
Always.
It always goes wrong. And he knows best. And I think having the moment of going, okay, if I believe you're sovereign, which I believe he is sovereign, and you know best, and you hold the world in your hands, then surely you know what to do with my life. And surely you're going to put me on the right path. And he always does. But it does take surrendering your life to him.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle. and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you still ever get nervous that, like, I don't know what's happening here?
I do. Like, I've learned how to live with it a little bit more now.
Like, God, but, I'm surrendered, but, like, I'm having human actual fear and my ego's flaring
up. Yeah, I think that's so normal. Just moments like that throughout.
I think, though, that you're so right. It's like we have it so backwards, especially in America. And I love America. I feel like it's the greatest place to live. But I'm like, everyone is like, work, work, work until you're dead. Push, force this career to happen. You have to make money. You have to be a boss. You have to be working your life away. And I feel like we're starting to realize the side effects of that are not healthy, and people are having all sorts of mental, physical, spiritual health side effects because of it.
Yeah.
When really it's like exactly what you said. People are like, but I can't just surrender my life over to God because I got to make money. I have a family. I have to feed them. So what do we say to people like that when they're like, I can't just like surrender to God because I have three kids and, you know, a mortgage, and I have to go work this job that I hate. So I know that's not God's will because I hate it. You know, like, what do we say to people like that? I always like kind of wonder, like, how do you approach that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely hard. I do think the country we live in is the hardest, like in that specific
scenario. Because God is like in the churches, but like, it's not like in the forefront of our existence here. Yes, you know, like we don't like breathe God in and out like some of the ancient cultures did.
Yeah. I think in the beginning of our country, we definitely did. But over time, it's gotten
so focused.
It's like
on
if you're not
money.
Talking about like, or if you are talking about God, it's like somehow you're like the odd one out or whatever. I feel like
you're
nowadays.
The rebel.
Yeah. Yes.
Your new album.
Yes.
Title track.
Yes.
Which I love.
Thank you. But I think for me, like, if you go back to scripture, like some of his disciples, I mean, all of his disciples just dropped everything and followed him. And it was like, no matter what they were doing or what kind of life they had, it was like they just dropped everything and followed him. And I think that's literally what we have to do. And it's like, he takes care of the rest, you know, and the scripture also talks about like, he's, you know, cares for the birds and all the creatures. And so how much more is he going to care for us? And he's going to provide everything we need. So it's like, yeah, if you have a family or whatever, it's like, you don't have to just leave your family. That's not what it is. It's just surrendering your life to him and knowing that he's going to like give you what you need to get through, because you're in a living in obedience, and he always blesses obedience.
So your video for My Jesus, like that took me to my knees. Was that hard to make that video?
Yes, it was. That was so long ago now. It's crazy to think back.
And that song, I mean, I know that was from your first album. That was a Christian album. And now you're making a country album and you're like merging the two, which is amazing.
Thank you.
But My Jesus is, I mean, and I love the songs on Rebel too. They're incredible. But My Jesus stops me in my tracks. Like it's literally just... It's like, oh my God, like he can do anything. Mm-hmm. But that video was like a reenactment of your brother's passing.
Yeah. And
it showed your parents. It seemed like your parents are really like having a hard time like connecting to mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. and each other and life in that moment. Mm-hmm. But you were kind of going to church. Did that bring your parents back to church? Did they have a hard time finding their faith after that?
Not exactly. The video was a little bit of a more universal, I think, for we wanted everybody to be able to relate with it. And I would say that's definitely the average. The average is not even staying together in marriage or anything. It's mostly like ends up in divorce. And the moment Jacob died, like after the cops left, I think that was one of the first conversations my parents had was, okay, we've heard the stories of divorce and we're going to choose to like stick together through this as hard as it is. And I think it was hard for them. I mean, I'm not going to say, cause I wasn't in the situation, but like, I do think it was really hard for them to like lose their son and then have to like figure that out. However they did it. I'm so grateful they did.
Yes.
But yeah, they definitely struggled and I definitely was the strength of the family. I took on the weight of the family to get through that time.
You did?
Yes. I was like the one that kind of led, not to like in a like, you know, I did this way. I'm just like literally factual.
Like God gave you
it was like God gave me the strength to get like the family through. However, that did come back and bite me in the butt because like 2 years later, I hadn't dealt with any of it. And then I was like, signing a record deal and writing songs and then had never even grieved the loss of my brother.
Did you grieve through the songs?
I did, but I had to go to some intense counseling. Like that was really, like I had a moment of going, okay, I've got to face the reality of this.
Did you feel like you're having like a nervous breakdown?
Yeah. And I was like bedridden on holidays and stuff. Like I would be like in bed for weeks just cause I couldn't, like the depression was so much with Jacob and I hated Christmas. Oh my gosh. It was horrible. It was like, people would ask me in interviews, like, what's your favorite Christmas memory? And I would just want to like cry my eyes out. And like, it was the worst feeling.
These great memories you had now were probably way too painful to think about.
And then holidays are really hard without your loved ones if it's like your first few holidays. But now I'm in a great place now. But it took me a few years to kind of get through that and counseling and like figuring out like how to move on from his loss and stuff. But yeah, in the moment I was the strength. So that part of the video is definitely accurate. And just, I think me kind of being the first, I was the first one to kind of commit to God. We all committed to God in different times. We didn't even talk about it. Like we talked about it months after he died, but we all four, me, my sister, mom, and dad had a moment where we equally like in the same way kind of committed to God. So it was really cool.
So then what happened? God just put you on a rocket ship and now you're like, you made a Christian album. It won Billboard Christian Album mm-hmm. of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
What? Was that mind-blowing? You go to the Billboard Awards and your album wins Christian Country Album of the Year after you had never even wanted to be a singer and then God gives you this assignment and you do the assignment and he's like, okay, let me show you what mm-hmm. I'm about to do with you. And now you're like, how did you decide then to switch to country? Or was it just natural because you're mm-hmm. you're very deeply rooted in Christian. You started off in Christian mm-hmm. music, but now Rebel, your second album that's April 19th coming mm-hmm. out.
Yeah.
It's country, but it's Christian.
Yes.
So how did you walk this road, or is God just guiding you? How do you know what to do?
It's been really fun. It's been like so amazing for me because I started off obviously with the My Jesus album, which is Christian, but like country sounding. And then I realized early on in writing for my first album that the label kind of starts you out on a path and they just want you to kind of figure out who you are. And at the time I didn't know. I was 17. I wanted to be an astronaut. I'm like, wait, what kind of genre, like Christian, but like what kind of genre do I want to write or sound like, I guess. And my voice has always been more country growing up in Kentucky. I grew up on bluegrass music and country music. And like, so it was all encompassing all around me at all times. So that was really like my foundation. And then as I got into writing, it was like, okay, it's Christian country. I just knew it. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I also grew up on Johnny Cash and Dolly Parton, but then I also grew up on like, you know, some of the classic CCM artists. So it was like, I had a really equal amount of both in my life, which really helped shape the first album. Second album comes along and I was just doing my thing. And then Cindy Mabe from Universal Nashville calls and was like, hey, we want to give you an opportunity to put a song to country radio. So literally it was very unexpected and we were just like so blown away and so excited and basically was like, okay, we want you to be who you are, but we just want to give you an opportunity to reach more people with your second album. So we started writing and started working on the album and naturally it just has gotten more country as the older I've gotten and just more the things I've learned and the way I've matured and my love for country music has grown being in Nashville over the last few years for sure, but it's still the same. And it's like, I don't look at it as switching to country and leaving Christian. I look at it as just a continuation of my music. It's just it's just the older Ann. It's 22-year-old Ann versus, you know, 17, 18-year-old Ann. And there's a big difference in the two. And what I've learned in the ways that I've, you know, that I've written these songs are a lot different than the last. But it's still the same Ann. I think it's like the common thread line through all the songs is the faith-based message and the Christian side of it. But then it's also, there's a few songs that are a lot more country than the first record, which really for me is authentic. But also I just wanted to reach a lot more people on this album. I wanted people to be able to listen to it, even if they don't have faith. You know, I want seeds to be planted through my music. So
what is your mission? Is that your mission?
Totally.
When you're on stage and you're singing, like, what's running through your head? What's running through the human Ann, and then what's running through the spiritual guided Ann? Is there two different versions happening here?
I don't know. That's a great question. I think for me, like, when I'm on stage, well, my biggest motivator is Jacob, obviously. Like,
do you feel
him
like
passing away? I do.
Can you and feel him?
I definitely can.
Are there signs that you know he's near?
Yes, totally.
What are his signals?
Like, butterflies are really common for me, like just seeing them everywhere I go. But there's also times where, like, fans in the crowd will, like, there's this one time, like, well, actually, this has happened twice, I think, now, where a guy looks just like him. And, like, he'll just have, like, a smile, and he'll just be staring at me the whole time. And I'm like, oh, my, it's, like, torture, because I'm, like, in, like, a sweet way. It's, like, wait, obviously, this isn't, like, Jacob. But it's, like, it, like, reminds me of him. And then it, like, makes me really sad, but then also makes me really happy. And then it's just, like, or, like, there was this little boy that came to a show, and he was, like, 5 or 6, dressed up as a cowboy, and, you know, he just reminded me of my brother when he was that age. And so it's just like seeing little like moments like that through fans is really sweet. And like having God kind of like give me that as like a gift, you know, keeps me going. And but on stage, I think for me, it's my end goal mission is definitely just to, when people listen to my music, for them to experience hope and joy. And then ultimately to lead them to Jesus and for them to experience his presence through my music. And I think there's different ways of doing that with different songs. You know, for me, it's like some songs I want to reach the world. I don't want to just reach this small little, you know,
certain
audience.
Songs.
Yeah.
And you
I
just
think
can
certain
feel it?
Songs, I'm just like, yeah, like I just want to, I want this message to be a little bit more broad because I want it to reach people that I've maybe just gone through a really broken like church environment and they don't have faith and they don't want anything to do with it. But this like could maybe be a little message of hope for them, you know? So for me, it's like, that's my end goal, is obviously reaching people for Jesus. But there's, depending on the song, kind of depends on my goal, if that makes sense.
So you have an internal meter.
Yes.
Like, it's like God's kind of telling you, okay, turn the volume up on this one. This one is for this little group. Like, like you just feel it.
Yes. I'm an emotional, big emotional person. Have you taken the Enneagram test?
Yes, I'm a 4.
Okay, I'm a 2. But I sometimes am a 4, depending on the day. Like, I score both. But I'm very, like, I can feel, like, emotions. And I've always kind of been that way. So I try to like do that with my music too.
And I mean, your story is just so big. It's like, it's so divine. It's so hard. It's so hard to like process it all because immediately things have just been happening for you. Like your first tour sold out. I mean, it's so hard for people to have a sold out tour right away. Mm-hmm. It's sold out like right when it went online. Mm-hmm. And then you've been named like CMT's Next Woman of Country, Next Woman of Country, Spotify, Pandora, the Opry. It's like boom, 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 boom. Do you just feel like God's just saying, okay, I'm just lining it up for you? Like, do you feel any pressure? Do you just feel like, okay, that's God just like bringing them in? Like, I have this message to share. Because I mean, I feel like with you, it's like it is all divine. I really feel like everything that happens, like you're supposed to have a large presence because you are so clean and pure for God and like such a clear vessel. But it's like things just keep getting stacked up of opportunities, like big ones. And people keep coming and voting for you and you keep winning. And like one of your best friends is Lainey Wilson and she's on your new album. And you just did a big show with Chris Tomlin. And it's just like everything is just, you're just like in these big spotlight positions from the start with the biggest stars.
Yeah. I know. I can't believe it. It's crazy. I'm so grateful. It's just amazing what God's done in my life. And I truly can't believe any of it. Like, I do think it's divine for sure. I mean, there's no, like, other explanation. My first song ever, My Jesus, came out and in 24 hours had, like, 9 million views on Facebook.
What?
Yeah, it was crazy. And it just went viral overnight and my life forever changed. And I was like, okay, God, like, clearly you're doing something. And then since then.
Do you feel pressure that God's using you in such a big way? I mean, like, this is like a, you're a chosen one. Like, you are, like, You are chosen. Like, we are all special and divine, but like, you've been chosen, handpicked for a big message. Mm. Is that scary?
I think if I think about it too much, it is. But if I don't, then I just, I guess my goal, like I mentioned earlier, is kind of just like keeping my eyes on him. Because if I get to, like, it's easy to kind of get swayed away with like the fame and the success and the career, you know?
Does that
it's
creep
like,
in sometimes?
Sometimes, but most of the time not. No, because I don't like
Do you like the fame and the attention?
I don't.
You don't? Why don't you like it?
I guess it's just because I don't do it for myself. You know, I do it for God. So it feels kind of like weird to me. It's like,
when people are fawning over you, I mean, I fawned over you. Sorry. I literally am like, oh, because you're just so amazing. It's so amazing to be in your presence. I mean, I'm not trying to like put you on some like weird holy pedestal because I know that's not why you're doing it. But like, you just don't meet people this day and age who are following the assignment of God and this chosen. I just feel it. Like, you're just such a, like, you're such a chosen soul to be this light, especially in this very dark world that we live in. Mm. What do you do when people fawn over you and they're like, oh my God, Anne, like, you're saving my life. Your music is healing me. And like,
that's so
your
sweet.
Story is giving me hope that, you know, there's redemption and good things can come from suffering, because so many times people get stuck in the suffering and they can't get out of their pain.
Yeah. When people say things like that, it really does mean a lot. Like, I never take for granted. People are always like, I know you probably hear this a million times, but I'm like, no, I want people to tell me their stories. Like, that's what keeps me going. I think when it's more about me and less about like my music or what God's done, I always just, one of my friends told me one time, like, she kind of views it as like, every time someone gives her a compliment, it's like a flower. And then at the end of the day, it's like a big bouquet. And at the end of every day, she hands it to God. And it's like, here's my bouquet of flowers for the day. So mentally, I do that on show days. Like, if I've done a meet and greet and I've met a ton of people and they're saying super sweet things, it's like I just kind of give it back to God because it's not mine anyway. You know, it wasn't ever to begin with. So it's just like, okay, thank you so much. Like, it does mean a lot to me. But I think if you're not careful, you start to really like believe it, which it's good to believe it. Like, okay, I believe God's using me, but like, I don't ever want to let it get to my head. So it's just a continuous like, okay, God, you can have it. It's not mine, you know. Which then takes pressure off, because then I'm reminded like, oh, wait, I don't have to like continue to like prove myself or do this and this and this. Like, you've already gone before me. So all I got to do is just surrender and trust, and you're going to continue to guide me. Which, back to what you said about like all the crazy things happening in my life, it's like, that's what it is.
Because that could be very overwhelming for a human. If you're just in your human being, that could be very overwhelming. Like, all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, all these eyes are on me. All this attention is on me. I'm having all these accolades on me. A lot of times people have like nervous breakdowns because they feel like they have to keep it up, or like the pressure. Do you feel that? Or if you feel it, do you immediately just know how to turn it over?
I feel it a lot. I don't always know how to turn it over. I think it just depends on the day. I really try to, but I do definitely get a lot of anxiety and like just, you know, it's just, it is a ton of pressure.
What?
For sure.
What is your anxiety? Like, where does your anxiety stem from?
I think it's just all these big things that happen. It does make you feel like, wait, I'm not equipped to that. Like, me, like, I'm not able to do this. Like, I'm just little Anne from Kentucky. I still feel like I'm 15 with braces on in high school. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes, who can't sing? I'm 40 years old and I still feel like I'm 17 in Waco, Texas. And I'm like, what in the world am I doing? Yeah. Like, raising a kid and having responsibilities?
Yeah.
I don't, yeah.
Uh-huh. It's crazy, isn't it? It's just like, going from that to this and such extreme differences. And
people looking up to you so much.
Yes. And the pressure of that, which is a beautiful, it's a good pressure. It's like, okay, this is amazing. Like, I'm so glad I can be a role model for these little girls and people. But yeah, I think just for me, it's just been kind of anxiety just from just carrying the weight of all of it is a lot, but it's good. It's like the beautiful parts of it. And there's obviously hard parts of it. Being an artist is not always like the glitz and the glam. That's like not it
it's
at all.
It's like not it yeah, at
it's
all.
Not it at all.
Being an artist is so hard.
It's very hard.
It's so grueling and taxing and draining. What have been the hardest parts? What have been the best parts and the hardest parts?
The best parts are definitely getting to meet people and hear stories. Like, I live for that. Just getting to hear how God has chosen me to bring people to him. Like, I can't believe I'm just a small part of the story. Like, it's amazing. I love getting to meet. Also, I have all these little girl like fans, and they're so precious.
You started a whole thing called Hey Girl to like help girls have confidence and find their faith.
Yeah.
And
I know. I love little kids. I've always loved kids. So getting to see like little girls come to my shows dressed up like me is like the cutest thing ever.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I love that part of it. The hardest part, I had no idea when I started how much you sacrifice. Like, first of all, how much you're gone. I did not realize that in the beginning.
Do you like traveling?
I do, but not, I don't know.
Do you get nervous on the bus? I always get nervous on the bus that we're going to like crash when we're driving. Like, do you have any of that? Like, do you get like...
I got into a bus accident on my first ever tour. So yeah, that wasn't the greatest.
How was that?
Well, we survived, but barely.
It was a really bad wreck?
Yeah, we almost, like the bus almost flipped. It was really bad.
And
all the people in the top bunks fell out on it, like during the accident. It was really bad. However, the bus was still drivable and like nobody got hurt. And it was just like such a God thing. We were just like, this is, I mean, it was crazy.
What did you take away from that experience? Like, why, this is the thing, like, why did those things happen? Like, everyone's fine. Why did that happen?
I know.
Why did these things happen?
I know. It's crazy.
Do you know why these things happen?
No.
I wish. I know. I'm like, what is the point of this life? Sometimes I'm literally like, I have to get, I'm so grateful to be in the physical form, because I know, like, to be a human and to be in this moment and to have this life and have the opportunity to have a life is such a blessing. It's a miracle to be here. Mm-hmm. So I know, like, what a miracle it is to be here. But sometimes I'm like, what is the point of all of this? It is so hard out here.
I know.
The suffering, the way we treat each other, you know, the pain, and like humans, we just are such a mess with our emotions and our feelings and tragedies, and we have to sort through it all. You know, like, what do you think the point of it all is? Like, why are we not just like in heaven? Like, why are we doing this earth experience?
I know. Well, I think it goes back to the garden, obviously, like in the beginning of Genesis, of just the fall of mankind and, like, you know, Adam and Eve sinning. And like, it was, we were meant for a perfect world. We were meant for no death, no suffering, no loss, no sin. We were meant for basically just heaven, or what it is now, at least. Until we sinned. And when we did, that's like when everything changed. And so now it's like we suffer in this lifetime, but we know that when we get to heaven, it's no more suffering. So it's like we, that's the other thing, is like when you go through hard things, or when you lose someone you love, or whatever the situation is, that's why it's like, it feels like it's so against your physical body or your mental, like you can't, like, wait, why? Like, why am I experiencing so much pain? And it all goes back to the beginning, that we, our bodies were not designed to have to go through this. So the only thing we can cling to in those times is Jesus. And it's the only thing that's going to help us get through. So that's the way I like to look at it. I mean, obviously we don't know the answers, and we never will. Well, I mean, we will when we get to heaven. Maybe. We'll see. I think it'll make sense when we get there one day. It'll kind of like all come together and make sense. But
I know.
Until then, it's just doing the best we can.
We just have to wake up and do the best we can, right? Yeah. That's it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else to do. How do you manage fear? Because like I get very worried about stuff. My husband's in a band. He travels a lot too. And like, I try not to think about like random horrible things happening, you know, on stage or on the road. Or like, how do you deal with your fear? Do you just, because there's a lot to be afraid of when you're in the public eye. Do you just, same kind of thing? Is it just all the same process? Just like turning it over,
I think
turning it over.
Fear is like something I struggle with, not as much as other things maybe, but I guess for me, it's just fearing, you know, I more like if I'm going to mess up, or, you know, things like that. Like, I still get nervous when I go on stage and stuff. And I still have, I've played so many shows now, but I still get in my head about it. So when I get anxious or when I'm afraid, I just remind myself of the fact that it's all going to be okay. Like, that God's already gone before me. And that thought helps me a lot. Like, okay, I'm here for a purpose and a reason. You've already gone before me. You've already like planned out my day for me. I don't even have to do anything. I just have to follow. And then it's all going to work out in the end. Because I've gone through a loss, though, I do have that understanding. Whereas, like, most people wouldn't, because if you haven't gone through anything like that, it's hard for you to believe. I mean, it really is, if you don't have the, like, evidence that he does always come through. But for me, with what I went through with Jacob, I literally have evidence. Like, I would not be sitting here with you right now if my brother hadn't passed away, you know? And so, like, I have the evidence of the good out of the bad that I can live in every day and hopefully inspire other people to do the same. So.
And so tell me about some of the coolest moments you've experienced, like your Caleb Awards when you sang on that stage. Was it at the Grand Ole Opry?
Yeah.
In your
the red dress.
Red dress.
That was so fun.
Oh my gosh. And you sang My Jesus. You kind of started off with a little acapella hallelujah thing. Uh-huh. Were you freaking out?
Yes. I looked down and Lauren Daigle's right in front
of me. She's like your favorite.
Yes.
And y'all are kind of besties out a little bit.
Yes. I love her.
Is there going to be a tour one day? Yes, there will be, for sure.
I hope so. Not as of now, but there has to be.
There has to be.
Yeah. I love her.
And she's just been a great mentor to you?
Mm-hmm.
Has she like given you some good wisdom?
Yeah, she has.
What has she shared with you?
A lot of stuff. I think the biggest is just like how to set boundaries for yourself in this career. We're both like just younger and, you know, we've kind of had this like quick success.
And she's kind of the same way. Like hers is for God. Like,
yes.
The same as you. Like, she,
it's very similar. Yeah.
She's very much, God gave her an assignment and she's doing it. Mm-hmm. And she's following it for God, not for herself, even though she's freaking gorgeous like you. I mean, you are stunning, gorgeous. You. I mean, you could easily slip into your ego if you wanted to. And so could she. But it's like, you can feel that with her as well. It's like for
very humble.
God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's given me a lot of good advice on how to deal with anxiety and all that kind of stuff.
What does she say?
In the industry. A lot of just coming back to God and like really like making sure I'm connected with him and not falling into other things. And when I'm anxious, going back to him as the source. So that's been amazing. But
it's probably nice to have someone who's done it before you too.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Because she's had so many years of experience now. I think it's been like, I want to say like 8 years since her first album, or maybe it's been 10. I can't remember. But okay. The coolest thing I've ever done. Is that what you asked mm-hmm. or something like that? Mm-hmm. Probably all the award shows. But then when I got nominated for a Grammy, that was really, really cool.
And first
freaking out.
Album. Was it for the whole album?
Yeah.
For the My Jesus album. Yep. Wow.
I was so shocked.
And you were the only female in that category, right? Or is that the Billboard Awards?
Wait, hold on. I'm trying to think. Yes, I think I was the only female in that category. Yes.
So here you are nominated for Best Christian Album at the Grammys.
Yeah.
Talk about God making waves with you immediately. I mean, he didn't like, let's not slow roll this thing. Let's just jump to the top immediately.
It was so crazy.
What was it like being in the room with all those celebrities? Like, did it make
I didn't get to go.
Oh, you didn't go?
No, I didn't get to go. I had a show. I was on a Winter Jam.
Oh.
And I wasn't able to get out of the show. And I was heartbroken. You're like,
but if I won a Grammy.
I know. But I didn't get to go and I was so sad. So,
oh.
I know. But it's all good now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully there's another one that I'll get to go. But I had a custom dress designed and everything and it was so pretty and I didn't get to wear it.
Well, maybe you can wear it somewhere else.
Yes, totally.
So tell me about Rebel, this album, because it's coming out April 19th. You've got some major cool duets with Lainey Wilson. Yep. You have Chris Tomlin on there mm-hmm. and Jordan Davis. That Jordan just Davis. Came out, your yep. song.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about this album and what this album means to you, the inspiration behind it, 16 songs. You co-wrote all of them. Matthew West used to be my neighbor.
Really?
Yeah, because you wrote like every song with him.
Yes.
He's amazing. He's an incredible Christian him. Artist. Yeah, he used to live across the street from me.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's so cool.
Yeah.
Tell me about this album, what it means to you, what the songs are about, how you got your inspiration.
So we started out with Rebel. We wrote that in the fall of 2022. And I had that title on my phone for a while. And I had really been wanting to write something along the lines of that, but I didn't know what that meant.
Like, and it's not like rebel like people think. It's like, you're a rebel against the herd of people who are living their life in accordance to themselves. You're like, I'm going
to
go with God.
Yeah. It's like basically a rebel to the world in the world's eyes. It's like, no, I'm not going to follow the world. I'm going to follow Jesus. And in doing so, that makes me a rebel because he was one. So I was studying scripture. I was really diving deep into like the way he would act. And Jesus, like the things he did were so against what people thought he would do. He would go spend time with the least of these and the prostitutes and the tax collectors and all these people that like the Pharisees would look down on and like, it's basically like in the equivalent of today's world, like, you know, to the least of these, and he would go love on them and spend, like, he would prefer that over the religious people. And I remember reading about all these stories and being like, okay, this is what I'm called to do this. Like, I'm called to take the gospel into the world. So for me, that looked like, you know, putting a song to country radio, but not losing the message of my faith. So that made me feel like a rebel. And then there were so many other parts of it that kind of came into play, but we decided on this concept and then started writing the record in 2023. After 2022 was a crazy year, and then 2023 was on a tour for the first 3 months of the year. And then
you were with Scotty McCreery?
That was with Winter Jam. This was last year, 2023. And then we started writing in May, I think, of last year. And we wrote 40 songs,
40
cut 16.
Songs?
Yes.
Did they just flow out of you? That's a lot of songs to write.
Well, the first record I wrote 150.
Are they just coming? It's like,
well,
turning on
that
the
wasn't by
and
choice.
Just flowing out?
That was mostly by like people telling me I needed to go write more songs. But it was definitely like, so 40 compared to 150 is a big like step in the right direction for me. Cause it was like 40 quality songs versus like 150, like, you know, 120 of those were probably. It was just me discovering who I was.
So you had to do a lot of self-discovery. So you wrote
totally,
a ton.
In the beginning, yeah.
And then you could find, okay, this is actually my sound.
Yep. And so this record was 40, only 40, but okay. We cut almost half of them, you know. And we probably will cut more probably from the songs we wrote. So it's like, it was just a really good time of writing and got to work with some really cool people. Matthew and Jeff and me wrote the kind of the core of the record.
What's y'all's dynamic? How did y'all become the little trio?
So Jeff used to play piano for Matthew on tour, and then Matthew fired him as like his keyboard player. And then I loved Jeff, and I loved Matthew. And I reunited them. I take all credit for it because I did it. I reunited them. And ever since then, they've written like so many number one songs for all these Christian artists.
They owe you everything.
Yes.
Do you get a percentage?
Yeah, definitely.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. So we're like best friends. And
did you just meet through writing and the industry?
Yeah, just like through the industry.
Christian
and
awards?
Jeff works for or is a writer on my label. And then Matthew, like just, you know, his first love is songwriting. So he always writes with all the upcoming Christian artists. And he's so like kind to young artists, which I just loved him for that. And I used to go see him in concert as a kid. So I'm a huge Matthew S. fan.
How cool is that to all of a sudden be with people that you like looked up to and now they're your friends and your peers and you're actually changing your life, bringing them back together.
I know.
Reuniting them.
I know.
Former bandmates.
I know.
Is so that fun. Wild?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident, drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And so we stuck together with the three of us, and then we added some country writers in, like Nicole Galyon, Emily Wiseband, Lauren Hungate, Casey Beathard, the list goes on.
And Emily Wiseband just dropped a song, Champagne and Sushi.
Oh, that's a good song.
I've had five miscarriages, and so she's had two, and I'm like, I've never heard it put in, it's okay, but it's okay, it's part of the journey. But I'm like, I have never heard it put into a song so perfectly. You know?
Yeah, I know.
That's where the power of a song can like heal you so deeply. Because I'm like, oh my God, this is every woman's story who
that
has
song is so
gone
sad.
Through that.
My manager Maggie sent it to me, and I was like, I've been listening to it like
can't stop listening.
Around the clock.
I know.
Even though I can't relate in any way, shape, or form.
But it's
but
just
I'm like,
the
it's
pain
such
of it.
A beautiful song.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
That's why the power of music, it's like it transcends in a way that like words can't.
Mm-hmm.
Just words, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she wrote on your album too.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yes. Oh. So a lot of really incredible country songwriters came on the album to work
Jaren
together
Johnson.
With us.
I love Jaren.
Yes, Jaren's amazing.
He's so fun.
He is so
fun. He's like
fun.
The OG. He's coming on this podcast at some point. He's like the OG rock star of this town.
Yeah.
I mean, been here for so many years.
Yeah.
Just so badass.
He is. He really is. I love him. He's crazy all over the place, but yeah. I love it.
And he has your single, Rain
yeah,
in the Review.
Yeah, Rain in the Review. Yes.
Okay, so have you had fun just like getting to know all these songwriters?
Oh, yeah. It just was so fun. Just getting to like have their perspective on the record, which was the country side of things. And then my, you know, Christian, like bass, Matthew and Jeff. Cause it was like, okay, let's keep Anne who she is, but then introduce like this new country thing to it. So it was really cool. And then Jonathan Smith too, co-produced the album with Jeff Pardoe, every song on it. That was, so fun fact, I really love like just getting to like work on production and stuff. I like that more than songwriting. So when we worked on the album, I was like super involved in the co-production of all of it, which like gives me life. So it was super fun.
Tell me how you would describe your sound. Because you are this, like, I feel like it has not been a regular thing for Christian artists to be fully emerging into country music and be so accepted and welcomed. Mm-hmm. And it has been, like, no problem for you, mm-hmm. obviously, because you've been chosen. But it's, like, it has just been, like, this easy, has it been an easy transition over to country? Has it
yeah,
been hard? Because you have
I've
a single
yeah.
strong at Christian radio while you have a single at country radio, mm-hmm. Rain in the Rear View. That's wild
mm-hmm.
that they're both going at the same
I
time.
I know.
I feel like that never happens.
Yeah.
Does it?
I don't think it's ever happened before.
I don't think it has either.
Yeah. First yeah. time. So it's exciting. We're figuring it out. But
yeah. And strong.
I've
it's
loved
like,
it.
Like, is it number one already? Is this like top
I don't
three?
Think it is yet, but I think it's, I don't know. I can't keep up, but my team would
tell
me
it's
if
top
it was
three.
Number one.
Yes. That's incredible. So here you are climbing the charts in the Christian world while you're doing, is it harder? Are you having to work both of the industries at the same time?
Yes.
Like you have to do all the same things you did for the Christian industry and now all these things for the country music industry.
Yes.
Do you have any time off?
No. It's crazy. It's really crazy.
Do you feel equipped? You just can handle it?
I guess. I'm like, I guess I'm supposed to be doing this.
So you're going clearly. To all the Christian, are you still playing Christian shows, going to the award shows? What is your
well,
workload
Well, like we
entail?
Did like Scotty McCreery and then like I'm headlining in the fall. So like we're doing both. And then, like, in the summer, we're doing half Christian, half country festivals.
Okay.
But it's the same set on both stages. It's
That's
not,
cool.
like, a different Anne on the country that it is on the Christian. It's the same exact okay. set. So it's just me, but just in two different environments, which is the same exact show. It's just labeled the difference as a Christian or a country festival. That's the only difference. Same thing with the tours. Obviously, the headlining tour will be, like, a lot more of my story because I have more time every night, but... You know, on the Scotty, it was like the same set we do, which is so cool to be able to do both and be welcomed in the country space and have my faith like still be able to be talked about and stuff. So
I know you talk about this. I don't know if you've talked about it on song or certain song in particular, but you know, sometimes Christianity gets a bad rap because people can be super judgy. People can mm-hmm. use it as a weapon sometimes. Mm-hmm. How would you define Christianity and what would you want to tell someone who's had a bad experience with mm-hmm. the religion part of it, not the actual faith and what Jesus is and God, but like, I feel like sometimes institutions can kind of like people, we can mess things up, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and get it a little bit totally. Wrong. It starts off with such a good point, but then it goes through the human filter and it can become actually a negative thing for someone. Mm-hmm. How would you describe Christianity and people who've necessarily had a bad experience? Like, what is your Christianity, your Jesus?
Well, I think for people that have had a bad experience, I'm so sorry for them, because it's like, I totally understand like how that can make you want nothing to do with it. And I think that's the reality for most people in the world that have turned away, is like, well, we had a really bad church experience, so we don't want anything to do with it. But obviously that's not Jesus. And I think it's like, we as humans are going to make our own churches and our own institutions. And then it's like, well, if Jesus is not present there, then obviously it's not going to be him. And so it's just figuring that out is kind of hard. But I think when you realize that's not him, that's not his nature, then I hopefully you'll be freed from that and find a church or a community that is actually following Jesus.
Because it's hard when you have the power, because even like, look at yourself, like you've been chosen, you've been called, and you still have to like remind yourself to like clear the ego. Like, you know, like when you get the anxiety, like to go through your checklist, and like, mm-hmm. I'm sure preachers and people in charge of faith, they have a human experience and egos that it filters through. And if you aren't checking yourself and mm-hmm. keeping that vessel clear all the time, it could be easy to get your own desires and your own ego involved with it.
Yeah, totally.
As the leader.
Yeah. But I would say just, I define it as just following Jesus. I think, fun fact, Christian, the word Christian is only used in the Bible like 3 times. And it's like actually not about that. It's totally not about the religion. It's about following Jesus or being an apprentice of him. So it's like, what does it mean to like follow him? Which is literally just loving your neighbor as yourself, loving Jesus, serving him, glorifying him. But I think Christianity and like the whole church as a whole has boxed it up as religion. And that's what I couldn't stand when I was growing up in church. I didn't want to go and just check it off my list, but then next morning, like live this worldly life that didn't match up. It was like, wait, how can I? People were just coming to church just to say they went to church to make it into heaven, but that's not what it's about. And then when I realized that like the God of the universe loves me and he sent his son to die, not just for the world, but for me, and he loves me and he cares about me, then like that's when I found true freedom. So I think if people can just realize that's the goal. It's not about going to church just to go to church. It's like actually having an experience with him and a relationship with him, just like you would your earthly father or a friend. It's like you can talk to him like he's your friend, because he is your friend and he wants to talk with you. That's all he wants, is just to have you and to hold you. And I think when you realize that, then it takes the religious part out of it. Because I don't like viewing it as that. Like for me, that was so unattractive. It was mm-hmm. like, I don't want to just go to church and like wear a fancy dress every Sunday, you know, like I just
do what somebody tells me.
Yeah. I just want to like experience it for myself. And when I did, that's when my life changed. So, yeah.
Okay. So tell me what you're most excited about right now. What's going on with you? Like, what are you like enjoying the most? What are you loving the most? What's the most life-giving thing in your life right now?
Honestly, the songs on the album really are like, I'm not just saying that, like I really love these songs and I'm really proud of them. And I listen to them all the time as just like pure inspiration for my own life. I never feel like I always feel like my songs are just like a gift from God. Like every song we write, I'm like, thank you, God, for this gift, because it's not mine. It's clearly yours. And the songs that he's given me on this album have helped me through the last 6-8 months of life. So I love just that right now. I'm so excited about this album coming out. Me and my team have worked super hard getting it out, and just, it's going to feel so good when it's finally out. And the songs just, hopefully, obviously, they reach people. But then I have a really exciting tour in the fall that I'm really looking forward to.
Tell us about it. What is it?
It's a headlining tour. I can't give more details, but I'm very excited about it. And that's like, we're just working on that and just planning it all. And I love production of tours. I love getting to like do the stage design and the stage plot and work with like my production manager and like all that kind of stuff.
So you have a theme that you can tell us? Is there like any kind of vibes?
Well,
what is your, yeah.
It's just going to be like the album, but that's all I can say. Okay. It'll just be around the album.
It'll feel like the album.
It'll feel like the album.
Feel like the album manifested in physical form.
Yes.
With you singing.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite song on the album? Or the one that you hear the most?
Milestones.
Tell me why you like that the most.
I love that song because it's very accurate to my life right now. And I think it felt like nobody was really talking about the subject that I know every artist feels deep down inside.
What is the subject?
It's basically like what it means to sacrifice your life for your career and like missing milestones to make it in the industry, or to like, it's not even about just industry. It's everybody can relate with it. It puts things into perspective. It's like, what does it mean to like, you know, have a career, but also like, you know, cherish time with family and like put that above your career? Because I think the world we live in, there's nothing wrong with this, but America and just in general, it's like career over everything, career over family, career over marriage, career over kids. And I'm on the other end. I'm like family over career. That's it. Because when you have a loss in your family, like I did, it puts everything back into perspective of just like cherishing your family. And so this song is really a lot about that, just like how I view it all and how I view my career versus family life and how to manage them both. And I really love the song. And it was like therapy getting to write it for me. So I hope people can relate with it, even if it's not an, you know, industry person, that I think it's a broad enough message I'm hoping people can relate with. So
do you feel like you found a balance?
I do now.
You do?
Yes.
What is your balance?
I think just like if I have something that's important to me, just putting it on the calendar, you know, like blocking off things, like whether it's like a wedding or a graduation or whatever.
And
like,
even if a Grammy award and appearance shows up, you're going to stick with it.
Well,
maybe not Grammys, but like
anything other. Yes.
Yeah. And you're like, going to put just, that over, you're going to prioritize
just
it.
Just knowing that like saying no is not going to be the end of the world. Right. Saying no is not going to end your career in 5 seconds. You know, it's like just saying no is a good thing sometimes.
Yeah.
And setting boundaries. So that's what we've learned to do. And my team's been amazing about it too. So.
Yeah. And you are amazing. I feel so honored to sit next to you. Aww, and talk to you and hear your story.
You.
And just
you
to
amazing.
See how you walk in your faith and how you have turned the just this tragedy into following God and blessing others and helping us all. Like, it's incredible to be in your presence and hear your story. So thank you for coming
on
my podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's been awesome.
I always wrap up with Leave Your Light, and it's just open-ended. What do you want people to know?
Oh, that's so sweet. Maybe that, like, I guess just to continue to push through whatever hard circumstances they're going through, like no matter what you're facing, whether it's a loss of a job or a divorce or a cancer diagnosis or a loss of a loved one or whatever, that you would just remind yourself that God's with you. Just keep going. Like, the days are going to get brighter. Like, my song ran in the rearview. It is such a message of just like, there is hope for the future. It's not always going to look this dark, and there will be a day where the sun shines and it's, you know, beautiful. So.
Okay. Can you stick around for like a few burning questions? Just a quick little bonus episode, like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. So y'all stick around on Thursday. Anne's going to answer some burning questions, and I cannot wait to hear your answer because you are amazing. Thank you so much for joining.
Yes,
Anne Wilson. Y'all check her out on tour. Her new album, April 19th, comes out. Rebel. So exciting. You're amazing.
Thank you.
You're awesome.
Thank you.
Bye.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.